This is Economy Watch, what you need to know about New Zealand's economic life today. Brought to you by interest.co.nz.
Kia ora and welcome to Monday's Economy Watch, where we follow the economic events and trends that affect Aotearoa. I'm David Chaston and this is the international edition from interest.co.nz, and today we leave with news the Americans seem to have a deal on their debt limit, at least until the extreme party members are overcome in a vote. They have enough funding authorised to last until June the 5th. In the week ahead, we'll get the US non-farm payrolls report on Saturday, and before that, the JOLTS job openings numbers, the ISM manufacturing PMI, and the Conference Board Consumer Confidence Survey results. We will also get inflation rates for April for the EU, Germany, France, Italy, Spain, and South Korea. In addition, second quarter GDP growth rates will be released for Canada, India, Brazil, and Turkey, along with factory PMIs for China, Italy, Spain, Canada, Russia, India, and South Korea. Over this past weekend, China's industrial profits data was released for April, and it was weak. It fell almost 21% in the January to April period from the same period in 2022, although the drop was slower than the decline of slightly more than 21% for the first quarter. The marginal improvement in April alone will be of little real comfort, because that is when a recovery surge was hoped for on their opening up. But it isn't happening. Private firms are doing much worse than state-owned enterprises there. And Taiwan lowered its economic growth forecast for the year to 2%, the slowest pace in nearly 8 years, after the island slipped into a recession in the first quarter of 2023, reporting a 2.9% annualised drop in the first quarter after a 0.8% retreat in the fourth quarter of 2022. Singapore's industrial production dropped more than forecast in April, down 6.9% year-on-year and a 1.9% drop from March. It was their seventh consecutive month on year-on-year declines and the worst streak since 2015. Japan's economy is standing out with its impressive resurgence. Across the Pacific, and as we've noted, there is a US debt deal, even though it has yet to pass Congress. Most think it will. After all, it has always done so in the past. And assuming it does, there will be a catch-up mode. The US Treasury now has very low cash reserves due to the consequences of the impasse, and this will need to be made up. They will do that by rushing to raise funds in the Treasury bill market, maybe as much as $1 trillion. And that will suck up liquidity temporarily until it is spent. All at the same time, the US Fed has been selling down its own bond holdings. With the Treasury and the Fed both competing with banks for cash, lenders may see their short-term funding rates rise, forcing them to boost the borrowing costs they impose on businesses and households. In the real world, American personal spending jumped 0.8% in April from March, the most in 3 months, and double the market forecast of a 0.4% gain. It is a clear sign consumer spending remains solid, and it is supported by higher wages, which have consistently risen more than spending, and not just in April, and a tight labour market. If there is a downside, PCE inflation is hovering around the 5% mark and not retreating much yet. Durable goods orders rose by 1.1% in April from a month earlier, following an upwardly revised 3.3% growth in March and easily beating market expectations of a 1% retreat. But year on year, there was virtually no gain. Capital goods orders were even stronger for their recent rises, but again, little year on year. Rising economic activity, however, is making the US trade balance higher in nominal terms as it raises the demand for goods, including imported goods. Over the past year to April, the US has run a merchandise trade deficit of $1.1 trillion. However, that is 7% lower than the same year in 2022, and the deficit as a proportion of GDP has fallen from 4.8% to 4.2%. Of course, the overall trade deficit is much less when services are also taken into account. And the IMF has been reviewing the US economy and said American interest rates will likely need to remain higher for longer to tame inflation, and that Washington needs to tighten fiscal policy to bring down its federal deficit. But overall, it's been impressed by the way the US economy has been managed over the past few years. In Turkey, they've had a final round of voting this weekend, and although only half of the votes have been counted, President Erdogan has claimed victory. But financial markets have also been voting with their money, driving the Turkish lira to 20 to the US dollar, an all-time record low. Erdogan has had to come out and deny there were cash withdrawal problems at banks as people got skittish. Australian retail sales didn't change in April from March and were 4.2% higher than year-ago levels. That means in volume terms they'll be running lower because Australian inflation is running at 6.3%. And in Canberra, MPs from the new Labor government tackled RBA Governor Lowe in a private meeting over what they see as his demonising of wage increases. But Lowe held his ground, warning them that generous wage rises they were backing would make inflation worse unless they were accompanied by increases in productivity. And if that is how it turns out, well, that is wage rises without productivity increases, he said rates would rise in response. It was probably an unhappy, intense meeting and probably seals the end of his time as RBA governor when his term expires in September. Being right is no defence in politics. In the background, an Australian Fair Work Commission decision on the 2023 minimum wage and awards application is due soon. And the IEA says global investment in clean energy is on course to rise to $1.7 trillion in 2023, with solar generation set to eclipse oil production for the first time. The US Treasury 10-year yield will start today at 3.80% and probably hold given it's a holiday in the US. A week ago, this benchmark was 3.69%. And the price of gold will start today at $1,946 an ounce. That's up $3 from Friday. And a week ago, the price of gold was $1,976 an ounce, so a 1.5% fall from then. And oil prices are 50 cents firmer to be just under $73 in the US, while the international Brent price is just under $77 a barrel. For the week, that's a dollar firmer. And the Kiwi dollar will start the week at 60.5 US cents. That devalues at 3.8% in a week and 4.8% in a year. Against the Aussie, we're still at 92.8 Australian cents. Against the euro, we're 56.4 euro cents. That means our trade weight index fell 20 basis points to 69.4. So overall, the New Zealand dollar has devalued 2.7% for the week and the same since the start of 2023. And the Bitcoin price is a little higher today, now at $27,359 and up 2.2% from Saturday. Volatility over the past 24 hours has stayed modest at just on plus or minus 1.3%. You can find links to the articles mentioned today in our show notes. Get more news affecting the economy in New Zealand from interest.co.nz. Kia ora, I'm David Chaston, and we'll do this again tomorrow.